Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here's me. Shades on, I'm bored with the glasses. Bro say Earth cause he a savage. So many dead ops, so many ashes. You ain't catch that, I can't pass this. Shooter stay strapped, I don't need mine. Bro put belt rate to they behind. The way that switch, I know he died.
This is Skrilla's Doot Doot 6-7. Yeah, it's the origin song of what has been dubbed the brain rotting meme of the year of 2025, 6-7. It started as a Lucy says this Instagram post. I don't know what that means. Maybe producer Ben does. Started as a Lucy, but after memes and LaMelo Ball edits and a South Park reference, the line from the track has morphed into what it is today, 6-7. What does 6-7 mean? Spoiler, it doesn't mean anything, but the kids seem to love it.
That's right.
Producer Ben Strober, what is a Lucy in the music game?
I think it's a reference to either 67th Street you might be referring to. Other people theorize 67 is some sort of like number that means somebody was unalived. I don't really know the origin.
But when it says Skrilla's Doot Doot, parentheses 6-7, started as a Lucy.
That I don't even know.
L-O-O-S-I-E.
I got no...
My guess...
No file
and I'm
on
just
that.
Guessing. I'll have to go to Grok on this. My guess is that is perhaps a beat or a cut or a song that's not part of an album per se, but just sort of it's floating around. Like, we don't know what we're going to do with this hook just yet. And then once LaMelo Ball edited it, and that still blows my mind, by the way, that LaMelo Ball, yes, that same guy... has some credibility in the hip-hop world these days. Because put out a song, he performed a song, I think at halftime a year ago at the Lions Thanksgiving game. And apparently it didn't suck. Now I'm the last guy in the world to be asking whether something that is hip-hop or rap is good or not. I don't know. It ain't my thing. But I always lean upon the younger people and those who are into it to go, is this good? It's good, okay.
Jello Ball is the bigger rapper. He's
That's
the one that
right.
blew up last year with that.
Oh,
he had,
okay.
He had that
so
one
not
song.
So not LaMelo, but LiAngelo.
Yes,
AKA
correct.
Jello, the least basketball talented of the three
correct.
Ball brothers.
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, why am I obsessing on 6-7? I'm not obsessing on 6-7. I'm going to obsess about 8-9 right now because this to me is fascinating. Yesterday in the Bears-Eagles game. The Eagles trailing late in the game, 3 minutes and change to go, score a touchdown, the second A.J. Brown touchdown of the game. He had a good game, by the way, so I guess the squeaky wheel does get the greased. 10 catches, buck 32, two touchdowns. They get a touchdown, though, to cut it to 9, 24-15. But there's only 3 minutes and change to go. They're down 9. Sirianni and the Eagles decide to go for a two-point conversion to cut it to 7. They fail. So now, oh snap, it's still a two-possession game. They are hoping to knock it into a one possession game by going for two. Of course, it would still be technically a one possession game if you go for one and make it eight. But then you would have to score another touchdown in the final 3 minutes and change and then get a two-point conversion. That sparked one of the most, I mean, in-depth, at times absurdly vitriolic arguments I've seen on Twitter or X in a long time about, was this the right strategy? And there are analytics nerds who are insistent it's the right call every day, all day, and here's why. The numbers argument about going for two first, down nine, well, you're down 15. Let's start with it. You're down 15. You need two possessions, two touchdowns, and 1 2-point conversion. So do you go for the two-pointer that you need as part of this three-piece trifecta in the final waning minutes of a game in which you're losing? Do you go for it right away, and if so, why? The numbers nerds say you go for it right away because, A, you're going to need it no matter what, but, B, more information sooner is more valuable. In other words, if you wait to go for two at the end of the game and you fail, you no longer have any more time to overcome the, okay, we need the ball again and we need to score again. So in other words, their argument is sooner information trumps all other strategic considerations. And I get that. I get that when teams are down 14 points and they want to be aggressive and they oftentimes go for two down 14 when they score to make it eight because they want to cut it to six to really put some heat on the other team. And if you don't get the first two when you're down 14 and you score, you can always make up for it with the second touchdown if you're lucky enough to get it to then tie the game and go into overtime. I get that argument, that more information, how many points am I going to need? I want that information sooner rather than later. The thing that I don't think was taken into account by the people who are so mouthy and chesty about this yesterday was with 3 minutes and change, that sooner information didn't hold much value because there was so little game left. It was already highly unlikely you were going to get the ball back to begin with, much less to get it back two times. So you go for two and you fail and you're like, okay, good, I got the information. What's the information? Well, it's bad, but it's that we need the ball twice because we're down nine because we didn't convert the two. There was so little game left, I don't think the value of the advanced information, can you hear my air quotes there? I don't think that mattered. The counter argument is that, well, these are not robots playing this game. They're human beings, and the coaches on the sidelines are also human beings, full of fears and paranoia and tendencies and sometimes lacking in courage, and that when you score a touchdown late to close within at least eight, which kicking the extra point would have done, there is now a pressure and an urgency on the other team that cannot be discounted. You have to understand and realize that, yes, teams play a bit more uptight when they're like, oh, damn, we need to get some first downs here because we're only up eight. They could get the ball back, go and score and get a two-point conversion. Then, oh, we're going overtime. I thought we had this game won. Now, sometimes that cuts against you because teams that are suddenly in jeopardy of losing a lead, like the Bears would have been, actually play more aggressively and have success they would not have had if they played conservatively. You cannot discount the human element and the human emotion in it. I don't have a strong dog in the fight either way about yesterday's situation. I think there is too much of the game had already expired. There is too little time left anyway. And it was highly unlikely they were going to get two touchdowns and a two-point conversion. So this is kind of a moot discussion. But I can see both sides of it. Young Ben, can you see both sides of the argument, or are you firmly in one camp or the other? The sooner information is better information, or the put pressure on the other team by staying alive strategy?
Yesterday was a big day of vindication for me because I'm not very much a believer in using analytics every single time to make a football decision because I feel like this advanced good information man. You're talking about, analytics, doesn't account for intangibles in a football game like momentum. There's too many of them. I think this decision was the most moronic decision I've seen of the entire NFL season. In this situation, you go for the extra point. You make it a one-score game. And correct me if I'm wrong. Philadelphia had three timeouts, right?
I don't have the timeouts in front of me, but yes, they could have applied pressure via timeouts.
I think they had three timeouts. So you elect to go for two in that situation, which, one, is a lower percentage play of you converting on than going for the extra point. And then because you go for the two-point conversion and you find yourself down two possessions now because you're down by nine, you're forced to kick onside, which is the lowest percentage play in the entire sport.
That is true. It's what is the percentage recovery rate on onsides now?
Insanely low. Insanely. Okay. The NFL should probably do something about it because it's just not working. But
yeah, they should bring back the old onsides kick, which was awesome.
Them going for two in that situation was them basically banking on that play making the game. When they didn't convert there, the game was over. And the game didn't have to be over right there.
Now, the numbers nerds will insist that there is no value in the perception of, we're still in it. Hey, we're still hanging around.
I hate those numbers arguments. I hate them.
I know. They will say that that has no value. I think they're being a bit obtuse to the fact that humans play and coach the game. And they play it and they coach it differently when they are facing possible disaster. By the way, update from Ann Arbor. Ohio State has found the end zone. Although this is being, of course, reviewed. Jeremiah Smith, their otherworldly wide receiver, who's amazing, probably be a top five pick easily when he's finally eligible in another year for the draft, just undressed a Michigan DB and went in for an easy touchdown. They're reviewing whether or not he stepped out right before the pylon. Ooh, ball was a little bit loose.
This might be a touchback, Zabe.
No chance that's a touchback.
It might be.
No chance.
Let's see.
Yeah, because the ball was a little bit loose coming through, and he didn't establish possession again in the field of play. Wow. Wow. This is a rule, by the way, that Grant Paulson hates with the fury of 10,000 suns. Grant Paulson hates this rule, the fumbling it through the end zone, resulting in a turnover and a touchback for the other team. I got no problem with it. I know Grant will fight me tooth and nail on this. I'm like, no, that's the rule. You got to value the ball near the goal line. That's why many coaches, good coaches, stress to their players, do not reach, do not stretch for the end zone. Touchdown, yeah, no, they call upheld on that one. Little bobble from Jeremiah Smith, but not nearly enough to overturn it. So it is going to be, pending the extra point, 10-6 Ohio State. 11:44 left in the early second quarter. Okay, so there we are on the great 6-7, or excuse me, 8-9 debate in the NFL. Who do we got that wants to talk about this on the phone?
Got Slim in D.C. You want me to put him up?
Slim in D.C. weighing in on 8-9 in the NFL. Good afternoon, Slim. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? I think that it is absolutely moronic to do that kind of thing. What the numbers people aren't taking into consideration is the fact that with 3 minutes and 10 seconds to go in a football game, like, all it takes is for one first down, one additional first down, and the game is over. Secondly, extra point is odds on more likely for you to hit, so it's a lower percentage play. So why would you the mindset should be, okay, I'm going to do all of the high percentage things that I can do first to keep myself in the game. And depend on my defense. But if you're down 9, 3 minutes and 10, that's basically one possession. You might not even get another possession left. So
yeah, you're cooked. You're cooked. I generally speaking, I think there's value in staying in the game, staying connected, staying within reach of the team that is leading. Remember, extra points are now running 94% because of the new rule in the NFL. So it used to be a 98% proposition. So it's a little bit less. But onside kicks are somewhere sub 10%. And then two-point conversions, I think, are running only – yeah, and I think two-point conversions are running 43% league-wide. Now, of course, that all varies by team and personnel and what do you have. If you're the Eagles, obviously, you've got the tush-push as a weapon. So it varies by team. But the beauty of it is, you know, strategy is always debatable. And that's what makes it fun, that we can – absolutely go crazy over one little thing like this. And this is something that, you know, many women who love us just don't understand about men and sports is that we will take the tiniest of things and we will fight each other tooth and nail over it regarding things like should you go for two there or not. Basically, the Eagles are cooked either way. And I should also note, I have seen Sirianni make some of the more, so many more absolutely idiotic, completely brain-dead decisions tactically. He's one of the bottom three guys tactically, in my opinion, in the league. And I think Eagle fans will back me up on that. So if you're going to get mad about this in a game that was pretty much already lost, I would say save that energy for the bigger screw-ups that he inevitably has elsewhere in games. Eagles still 8-4. Cowboys feel like they've got new life. The division's not yet done yet, but we will see the next couple of weeks. Quick break. When we come back, who you calling a hoe? Ho, that story and more. Sports Saturday, Ohio State leading Michigan in the game. We keep our eye on it as we go through the afternoon.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
That was Lane Kiffin after their win in the Egg Bowl yesterday, confronting an Ole Miss reporter who works for OM Spirit on 3, and he also does a podcast. His name is Ben Garrett, and he ran a line about, you know, you can't teach. I'm going to get the line wrong on this, but the song, don't turn the song off just yet. This is actually in reference to a song. Turn it up. This is Corrupt, Hoes a Housewife remix, clean radio edit featuring Dr. Dre and Hitman. Basically, what this guy said, who reports on Ole Miss football and has a media credential, was he was saying, in general that when you have a coach who is willing to entertain offers from LSU, which obviously Lane Kiffin has done, that he's not housewife material. He's a hoe. He's willing to go somewhere else. Now, he didn't literally call him a hoe. He didn't say that Lane Kiffin is a hoe. In fact, I'll let, you know, this guy Ben Garrett explain it himself. He looks like a college kid. He's got a baby face, but he'll tell you he's 40 years old, and he loves Ole Miss. The conundrum becomes, okay, what's he supposed to do in that situation when Lane Kiffin confronts him, surrounded by state troopers, literally in the shadows of the goalposts in Oxford? Is he supposed to then go right back at Kiffin, rah, 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 get in his face? Is he supposed to fight him right there? I thought he handled it mostly professionally. And also you wonder, okay, well, if Lane Kiffin does go to LSU, then does he owe this guy an apology because he was right? Or is calling or referring to any coach in even an oblique way a, quote, ho, unacceptable? That's an interesting one because he didn't necessarily do it in a written column per se. It was an offhanded comment on a podcast. Podcasts are much more informal. Podcasts are more conversational. And you can kind of get away with a bit more stuff. I've heard worse rants against coaches before, that's for sure. The real hook, though, on this, the real sticky part of it is when teams and organizations issue credentials, which grant you access, there's limitations. They can pull that at almost any time for almost any reason, and you have very little recourse. And it's better to be, as the saying goes, inside the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in. So you don't want to be on the outside if you're this guy, Ben Garrett. Here was his explanation of what he meant in the comments and the whole interaction.
Number one, let's clear some things up. Number one, I didn't call Lane Kiffin a hoe. Great sentence, and it's true. I used the metaphor clunkily. Is that a word? You can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Hoes don't act right. But it was more about the disloyalty of the last couple of weeks, including the brazen moves of sending family members on information gathering missions to Baton Rouge in Gainesville, and then have to say, "How dare you ask about it?" But that's neither here nor there. It's been a hit to the pride, yes. When y'all say I cowered, I disagree. As someone who's dealt with a hot-headed nature for most of his life, but has really worked hard, particularly God has interceded for the last 2 years, I was proud of the way I handled it in the moment. That's what's so bad. It's like, dang, I put my hand on this man's shoulder. I listened. I didn't react emotionally. I came back and I wanted to respond, and he's already headed up the tunnel. Should I have emoted more, folks? Should I have fought Lane Kiffin? If everything is wrestling, I'd have clotheslined him. That's not, first of all, I think all y'all could whoop my ass. I'm under no delusion. And here, get something right. All right, a lot of y'all think like I'm a 20-year-old. I'm 40 years old.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Sure. I didn't get abs. All right. But what I did get was a youthful face. But I have 2 kids, been married for 15 years, been doing this job for 20. I'll be here, hopefully, you know, because this is all I've ever wanted to do. I prayed to God for it. He gave it to me. So I plan to be here as long as y'all will have me.
So this was his response. I'm on Team Garrett in this particular confrontation. No matter how much you might think it's out of bounds, if you do, that he made a reference to, you can't make a hoe a housewife, a hoe don't act right, then you don't like to see coaches who are about to make, what is Lane Kiffin going to make, whether he stays at Ole Miss or goes to LSU? $12 million a year? Probably set the new high watermark in college football. You don't, as a $12 million guy with state troopers around you, punch down on a baby-faced 40-year-old with, I'm sure, a not very lucrative paying job writing about Ole Miss football, doing a podcast. It's just a terrible look. You should let this roll off your back, Lane. And if you do go, he was right and you were wrong and you look like a bitch. You is a hoe and you look like a bitch. I think with every minute, Ben, that goes by, gets worse and worse for Ole Miss if they want to keep him.
Can I offer you a question?
Yeah.
In this situation, sorry to cut you off, but
that's right.
I feel like in these situations where a head coach, his future is up in the air, and I relate to this very heavily because of how Kevin Willard tumultuously departed from the program in the midst of a Sweet 16.
Very angry about that situation, yes.
Exactly. So I feel like the coaches in these situations get very defensive to people speculating their futures and, you know, essentially making not really a brash statement, but just having an opinion based on what he may or may not do in the future. Is this something that we always see, or is Kiffin kind of especially brash for what he did in this situation?
I mean, it was pretty brash, but Lane Kiffin has leaned into the whole wrestling aspect of all of this and the way things are. I think the biggest takeaway, and I didn't even think about this till Doc brought it up to me yesterday, he goes, yeah, you know, he's going to get paid the most of any coach right now because of the leverage and the spot he's in, but he hadn't won anything, and he's right. Michigan has scored to make it 10-9, update from Ann Arbor. So a third field goal from the Wolverines, tight game right now as we are midway through the second quarter. I mean, Kiffin leans into the whole current media circus, so he doesn't care. And if he can dunk on a kid that looks like a baby-faced 40-year-old doing a podcast, he probably will. There was another incident, I don't know if you saw this, Ben, with a reporter that is flying under the USA Today banner, but he's got kind of a low-level reporting job covering USC football, and he asked a question of Lincoln Riley about the signs that were seen at College Game Day on ESPN from Oregon fans who treated this supposedly big showdown with SC like it was nothing, like we're going to roll, and he basically asked, you know, the coach, he said, well, how do you feel that nobody fears USC? And the response was pretty swift and abrupt. And then the reporter wrote a follow-up column apologizing for it. And many people said, no, don't apologize. These coaches are way overpaid. They're completely thin-skinned. They have no moral compass, and they're gone for the next job the minute they have a chance to do so. Lincoln Riley, I was having brain lock there on the coach. But yes, Lincoln Riley fired back at this kid. Again, the rules are not black and white. And the dynamic is such that when they give you a credential, that laminated card on a string with your name and picture on it, that's a privilege that they can revoke at any time. So you got to be kind of careful about how you phrase things. Anyway, we'll see. Is there going to be white smoke, black smoke coming out of Oxford about his decision? Do you think the decision gets out during the game right now between Ohio State and Michigan?
Oh.
Every minute that goes by can't be good for Ole Miss. If he was staying, they would have had this thing wrapped up already.
That's usually how it is, isn't it?
Usually how it is, especially with everyone else falling in line. Yeah, with Clark Lee falling in line at Vandy, Drinkwitz at Missouri falling in line, Vatek scooped up Franklin a while ago. Sumrall at Tulane is the one to watch, they say. Technically, Brent Key could be had, but there's been very strong statements from both Key and Georgia Tech that he wants to stay at Georgia Tech, that he, you know, bleeds Georgia Tech colors, being a former player there. Anyone can be had for the right amount of money, so statements only go so far. And they're saying, depending on what DJ Durkin does tonight as a interim for Auburn in the Iron Bowl, he could be in the mix for some people. Herbie today, though, on College Game Day, had a fascinating take. He did say, you know, guys, I think he's going. And then he pivoted to say, and if he does, I really think Ole Miss should let him finish what he started. And that didn't go over too well with Saban and McAfee and I think the rest and Desmond Howard and the rest of the set, because it just, they're like, I don't know if you can do that. Herbie pivoted to say, well, how is this different from Jim Harbaugh when there were rumors of him going to the NFL as they were making their run to the national championship game? They all quickly shot back. They go, that's the NFL. This is not college football, and it's not a rival. A deep South, deep fried blood rival to Ole Miss. And I think that shut Herbie down in his argument pretty quick, but it will be interesting. Ohio State with the ball now driving once again on the plus side of the field. As I'm watching, they are throwing the ball today, unlike last year. Last year, Ryan Day said, watch this. We'll bully ball Michigan. We'll run. And it turned out disastrously. They're throwing the ball in the cold and the snow flurries up in Ann Arbor. Ohio State 10, Michigan 9. I've connected with my guy, Andrew Siciliano. We'll talk some NFL and Browns and Shadur with him next. You're listening to Sports Saturday with Steve Zabin right here on The Fan.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Our next guest was once my constant Sunday companion, quietly, silently, along with millions of other Americans, when there was two Red Zone channels, one delivered by DirecTV, the other one by the NFL Network. Unfortunately, the Red Zone on DirecTV went away. But my guy, Andrew Siciliano, has found a great new home as the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns, and he joins us now on Sports Saturday. Good morning and good afternoon, Andrew. How are you, my friend?
It's the Zabe.
How
are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Thank you for time today. You've been busy. You've been flying back to Cleveland after the break, and you had to interview Coach Stefanski. Get ready for tomorrow's game, which is going to be epic.
Yes, sir.
These are interesting times now with Shadur. He is a unique personality and a unique athlete. I would just imagine, Andrew, that the town and the fan base is energized, correct?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. By the way, coming to you live from a dive bar in suburban Cleveland, stepped outside. It is
nice. Chilly.
It is freezing. It is cold here. It was cold in Reston yesterday, don't get me wrong, but it is a little bit colder here, and we have snow on the ground. Could have snow tomorrow, actually, so you could have a Shadur snow game. But yes, everybody is energized. I think that is the best way to say it. In no way, even after watching the Bengals beat the Ravens, in no way are people predicting a 6-game winning streak. Actually, it would be a 7-game winning streak if they do that from this point on. However, look, if they win, they being the Browns, if they find a way to win and they beat the Niners here when San Francisco was undefeated in 5-0 in 2023, they have 4 wins, and the leader in the AFC North has 6. So, yeah, there's a little bit of energy.
Why did it take so long for Shador to kind of move up the quarterback ladder?
There's no grand conspiracy.
I've heard those conspiracy theories that they drafted him to screw him. And I said, do you know how crazy you sound saying that? Like, no.
Yeah, so let's unpack that. So you drafted a player with whom you have no connection and did so to spite him, even though you don't know him. Yeah, that doesn't really make any sense. The short answer is that, I mean, Shador is a heck of a college player. He was passed 143 times in the draft before the Browns were the one team that actually chose to draft him. Now, there were others that would have probably done so shortly thereafter, whether it would have been the Ravens, and obviously we've heard that story, or the Eagles, or whomever. The Browns were the one that said, yes, in the 5th round, we're taking him at 144, and we want to develop him. In no way did they take him and go, we could have, this guy was, you know, should have been the first overall pick, and we were going to start him day one. No, that was never going to be the situation. They're going to develop him, and slowly but surely they feel that he got to the point, and it helped that Dylan Gabriel got the concussion. No one wants an injury to any other player to open the door, but the door opened. He stepped through it, and to Shador's credit, he seized the opportunity, and he's going to get another start. He was a prolific college quarterback. He's a gamer. He's tough as all get up. Obviously, though, he came from a system in which there was a lot to learn, translating it into the next level. Dylan Gabriel had played 6 years in a variety of systems, and what attracted not only the Browns to him, but a bunch of other teams as well, is his ability to process. And look, he could be a coach right now. So he had the leg up. He was taken 50 spots ahead of Shador, but now Shador's got his chance, and he's done great.
Yeah, the mobility, the arms, the arm strength, the size, those are all Madden ratings that are clearly superior to Gabriel that Shador has. And when they're on full display and in full flight, they are pretty intoxicating. It's putting the whole package together. That's the biggest challenge, and we all know how hard that is in the NFL. So I'm interested. I'm going to have that game on one of the 3 TVs, Andrew, tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it, as I'm sure you're looking forward to calling it. Can we pivot quickly to the season that Myles Garrett is having? Oh,
sure.
My God. What are they saying in Cleveland about his season?
So he's having, I mean, look, it's fair to say that he's going to be the defensive player of the year. He won it in 2023. If you want to compare his numbers now to 2023, he won the award then with 14 sacks. He already has 18 sacks. Last year, he led the NFL in 2024 with 22 TFLs. He already has 26 TFLs, and all of this is with 6 games to go. It's kind of a foregone conclusion, although you never want to put anything in stone, that he is going to break the 22.5 held by both Strahan and TJ Watt. Browns fans will love the TJ Watt part of that. He is gunning for the TFL record, which is 39 held by JJ Watt.
I didn't know about the TFL record. I got to be honest, record, it's not one that I celebrate in my house, but maybe I should.
I have long said that I think TFLs should be viewed as highly as sacks. If I could drop the running back for a 5-yard loss, that's just the same in my book as dropping the quarterback for a 7-yard loss or a 5-yard loss or whatever. JJ in his second season got 39. So his first full season, first full season as a dominant starter, he got 39. He actually got the 39 a second time. So Miles has 39 in his sight for that as well. But it also just speaks to the fact that he is playing the run as well as he is playing the pass. And there were a couple of plays last week in which, look, they've moved him into the middle of the defensive line before, but they actually had him as the Mike linebacker. And he got a full head of steam and a full runway and just bull rushed the center. And it was pretty ugly.
Yeah. All right. Last one. And I'll let you get back inside. Where
no, I'm rambling. It's okay. Keep going.
That's okay. Will Deshaun Watson play this year? And if not, what is the likely exit strategy on that whole episode?
That's a great question. He has not yet officially been cleared. He had a checkup a couple of weeks ago from Dr. James Anderson in Charlotte. He is getting closer to getting back onto the field. They will have a 21-day window when they do, if they do, and I do believe there's still a question as to if they will do that, open the window. Listen, if Shador is playing well, I don't know that there's a scenario in which Deshaun Watson gets on the field. I don't know how warmly he would be received by Browns fans. I think that would be an interesting question. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
And then when you get to the offseason, if they were to move on, it would be a massive cap hit, but eventually you're going to have to make that decision to move on. The cap keeps going up. They have factored that into their math, and they will get likely some insurance credit as well and a cap credit. So I don't know how they crunch the numbers, but as for him getting on the field this year, that is not in any way certain.
Yeah. All right. Do you miss 7 hours of uninterrupted football and you hopping around, not taking PP breaks? Because I know I never use that exact phrase
or any derivative of. But
do you miss red zone?
So I can use the phrase both can be true. Which is a great relationship phrase as well. Both can be true. I do miss doing a show that was as fun as any show there is to do in television, where I got to scream and yell at a wall full of televisions as I would at home in a suit that somebody else paid for. That was a fantastic job. I also love this job. So both can be true. I grew up there, but my dad's family is from here. I'm a diehard Browns fan ever since I was 10 years old. So both can be true. I miss the old one, but I love this one.
I think the Browns are lucky to have you, and everything I've seen is that you're very well received, and I think you'll do well in that for many years to come. And I actually want the Browns to be good. So these last 4 or 5 weeks of the season are going to be very interesting, because if number 12 takes the reins and shows a clear direction and improvement, then that sets the tone for the entire offseason and every decision to make. So let's hope that works out.
And they have 2 first-round picks. So
yeah. Yep. All right, Andrew, great to connect. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, my friend. Happy holidays to you.
Andrew Siciliano, play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns. So diplomatic to the very end. I'll just be honest here, since he's off the air now. His red zone was so better. So much better than Scott Hansen. And Andrew has no beef against Scott, and there was no rivalry per se. It was just one of these quirks of the broadcasting industry that they had two of them going at the same time, and then they consolidated, and it was Andrew's one that ended up being on the outside looking in. Andrew would toss to every game. He wouldn't just, like, if you watch the current red zone, they'll just change channels. Just click, you're like, what happened? Andrew always waited for a logical break to go, okay, let's send you back to LA for a second. We got a critical 4th-and-1 right now. The Rams are lining up for it. And he would bridge those transitions. So it was a much smoother experience. For whatever reason, Hansen doesn't do that, especially as the afternoon wears on and he's 4 or 5 hours into it. Got to be a very demanding job that requires a bladder of steel. Ohio State has punched another touchdown in. They're up 8, 17-9 as they begin to get some separation. 16 seconds left in the second quarter, so they're about to go to half. Michigan has the ball at their own 30 or thereabouts, 25-yard line, so it looks like they'll run one play. Call it a half and readjust down 8 after half a game of football in Ann Arbor. Sports Saturday with Steve Zabe, and you can follow me on Twitter at Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. More on the coming NFL Week 13 right after this.
Sanders. And that is nothing more than bump and run coverage that time by Mark Haynes on Ricky Sanders, and he got smoked.
Mark Haynes playing him tough right up front.
Mark Haynes, who we talked about earlier, has played superb football over the past few games. Let Sanders get by him, and it is goodbye. Let's go!
Highlight was from January 31st, 1988, Super Bowl XXII, Super Bowl 22, for those that don't speak Roman numeral. ABC, the play-by-play man, was a much younger and more spry Al Michaels. But by golly, that was, 37 years ago. Al Michaels. Al Michaels with Frank Gifford and Dan Dierdorf as the sideline reporter as Ricky Sanders caught the opening pass from Doug Williams and streaked 80 yards, just roasted Denver's secondary en route to an absolute beatdown, 42-10 in San Diego, a game that was not even that close. That I coupled with this song called Raise Hail, Commanders, that I just found on YouTube. You know, Benny, I'm sort of getting back into the mix of, okay, what are the new school songs and musical numbers associated with the Commanders?
There you go.
And then this thing I just found, and then I quickly looked, it's by producer Dana Dumb, D-U-M, and it says 3 subscribers. This song has 328 views total. So I'm guessing I did not hook into a popular current Commanders song.
You got to play some Jeff Walker.
Does Jeff Walker have a song?
Jeff Walker, who produces on B. Mitch and Finley now, makes a song every week. A hype song, essentially.
Get out!
Yeah, I don't know if he did one this week or where we could find one, but maybe later in the show we can play one of them.
What do you make of Dana Dumb's Commanders Raise Hail?
I like it.
You do?
I like anything that gets me fired up to watch a game because, you're 3-8 right now. Your quarterback's been on the mend for a lot of the season. Things just haven't gone your way when you're in the NFC Championship game a year ago. I need something to get excited about because, well, I still want to win football games.
This song sounds like a pretty generic but clean metal anthem. Almost too clean, almost like he used AI or something to put together some of these chord progressions and the basic theme of it. And I'm looking at the graphic he has on there. But, you know, the reason I played it was, okay, so you got this vintage highlight from Super Bowl 22, 1988, and then you got the Raise Hail thing, which I get, it's kind of cutesy. It's a spin on Hail to the Redskins, which they can't say anymore. But it's the blending of the old and the new. So this is a Super Bowl era uniform game again on Sunday night. Fine. Did you notice, though, young Ben, that every promotional photo of the Super Bowl era uniforms all have the 3 Commanders players strategically angled facing the perspective of the camera in the graphic so that the awkward taco holder W doesn't show very much? And I'm like, well, of course you're not going to show that because it's the turd in the punch bowl. It's the clang that goes, oh God, these uniforms bring back so many great memories. And there's the taco holder. Great. Yeah. I really wish they would just have left it off. Honestly, a blank shell would be better. But they've chosen to stick with the current logo on the old school uniforms. It doesn't mix well, in my opinion, but they didn't ask me, and nobody cares what my opinion is.
I think I might go bye-bye at some point, though, Zabe.
You think so? At some point it's gonna catch on?
You know, like, this whole thing you see with the spear, them beating it down on the ground before games, them putting it in all the pregame promotional pictures, I think they're trying to tie this Commander thing into like a Roman situation and not a native thing. And I think then you can get away with using the spear. I would not be surprised if that makes a return at some point.
It's quite possible. The Commanders did announce that not only is the game tomorrow a sellout and that they will wear their alternate uniforms, but the honorary captains tomorrow will be Doug Williams, your Super Bowl 22 MVP, former defensive ends Charles Mann and Dexter Manley. Oh, it's beautiful to know that Dexter is going to be out there. You don't see or hear too much from Dexter, but he is a absolutely beautiful human being in his own weird, quirky right. And he was so fun to watch back in the day. I'm not against honoring the past and the old school guys. Part of me, though, says, okay, at some point, we probably need to leave it behind and press forward into this new era, which I think they're going to do. But the mishmash that is the old school uniforms with the new school taco holder will be on display Sunday night. Hour three coming up, Sean Salisbury from Houston will join us, the former Viking quarterback. We'll talk about the state of play of quarterbacks in the NFL and whether or not he thinks some teams that have shown some signs of maybe petering out are indeed cooked, like the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk to him next. Sports Saturday right here on The Fan.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.